Let's continue in the Word of God and finding our place at this time to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6. As you're turning there with me to this portion of God's Word, as a here and there preacher, one myself that is, ponders as to what be appropriate for the congregation, one visits. And today we bring the call to pray for your preacher. And it comes to all of us as a reminder and an encouragement. I'm sure that even as we listened in the congregational prayer, as we prayed with our elder, that we lift our prayers for Brother Swale. He's been with you now some 5 years, and we need to be encouraged to continue to uphold him, and not only him, all preachers of God's Word, for their task in the sheepfold, that the Lord may give words, that the words would be proclaimed boldly, and that they would indeed proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And so, Ephesians 6, as we read the entire chapter, our text is at verse 18 and following. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. Tychius, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus with love incorruptible. Ephesians chapter 6. And as the apostle then comes to the close of his letter, he writes concerning the great call to pray. That's a great blessing that we have, the gift that God gives us to pray. Praying at all times in the Spirit, at verse 18, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words would be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. This is the word of God. We thank the Lord that his word is true. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. May he so continue to lead us as we seek to submit now to the proclamation of his word. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when the Lord gives you a pastor, he gives one that establishes a relationship between the minister of the word and sacraments and the people of the congregation, between shepherd, under shepherd, and flock, between pastor and parish. Reverend Swale has been called to serve the people of Emmanuel. Installed as a minister of the congregation of God's people gathered here, he's responded to your call. In the call letter, you urged him to come over and help, and to that call, he answered, "Yes, I will come." And in responding to that call, he had to make a new beginning in a new community. And as he went forth, he came to lead the congregation as the under-shepherd. And we trust that as you relate with him, that there is indeed a blessed relationship between pulpit and pew. The minister's calling is not an easy one. There are different pressures. The ministry can be and often is a straining calling. At times it would be a hardship in the congregation. Sometimes it may be a disagreement that can get blown out of proportion. Perhaps it's in dealing with a particular sin in the congregation. And so the need for prayer ought to be self-evident. Prayer to build up a strong relationship, to continue that relationship. So for the sake of God's glory and for the building of the church. And then we want to stress that one of the key ingredients in the pulpit pew relationship for you toward heaven above is the matter of prayer. Prayer binds us together. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comforts, and our cares. Now, there are many considerations that form part of our daily prayers. You know yourself as you pray before the Lord. Not only do we come before the Father's throne to bless him, to adore him, to praise him for who he is and what he has done for us in Christ Jesus, but we also bring prayers of thanksgiving. We bear forth testimony to his handiwork in creation. There's the confession of sin. We acknowledge that we depend so very much on the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank our God for his riches, God's riches at Christ's expense. And in our hearts, we marvel at his tremendous love. We bring forth petition in which we ask the Lord's continued blessing and caregiving in our life. Give us this day our daily bread. We intercede for others, asking the Lord to bless and lead in particular circumstances. Husbands pray for their wives, and wives pray for their parents. Parents pray for their children, and children are to pray for their parents. But our prayers do not stop there. The Lord, in his mercy, has placed us in a church by God's grace, we believe, is faithful to his word a church that in many ways is to be built up upon prayer. And in the church, God uses preaching as the primary means of grace. By that we mean to say the principal tool, if you would, that our Father in heaven uses to produce faith in his children and build the church is the preaching of the word. And therefore, what the preacher says week by week is extremely important. He's not merely filling 20 to 30 minutes of time. He's not merely giving information. He's not seeking to tell a nice story. Rather, he's instructing and exhorting in the things of God. And he does so recognizing the context that is also supplied for us in Ephesians 6, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And how the preacher trembles. A true preacher will always tremble with the calling and the office he has received. When your preacher said, "I do," he said, "I do perhaps with all my heart," there was a certain sense of fear and trembling. And you recognize that your pastor must first of all answer to the Almighty God. He must clearly understand for himself what God is saying to him and the congregation as he deals with the word. That word then applied to the needs of the flock and the issues of contemporary life. And in each turn of the way, God's word must speak. And in his own strength, in his own pastoral ministry, he does not have the wherewithal to do it. As our text this morning indicates, in many ways then, he depends on the prayers of God's people. How important that we remember that we be refreshed in that calling. We say in a certain sense that the pulpit here depends upon the pew there. Pray for your preacher so that words would be given him. Pray that your minister would have a gospel message to deliver. Pray, as one minister wrote, for the preacher as he structures his thoughts so that the people will understand them. Pray for your preacher as he is troubled by the knowledge that the needs of those in the pew are so diverse that he will never meet them all. Pray for the preacher on Saturday evening and Sunday morning and Sunday noon when the awesomeness of the task ties his stomach in knots and as he lifts his heart to heaven. Pray for the preacher while he wonders about the wisdom of God selecting jars of clay to do such noble work. Your pastor, too, is but a jar of clay, as we are. And we might say the more we pray, the better his preaching is going to be. As we've come to our text, we've arrived at the final exhortation which the Apostle Paul addressed to the members of the church at Ephesus. They form, as it were, a personal postscript. The great teaching of the epistle ends with the teaching at verse 20. And then our text is a particular call for God's people in their task. The Apostle Paul is asking that he be the beneficiary of their prayers. This is most remarkable. What a staggering thought that this mighty man of God, this exceptional apostle, this probably the greatest preacher the church has ever known, this incomparable founder of churches should be asking these people to pray for him. The apostle here is confessing his dependence upon the prayers of others. This is a man of whom we read elsewhere in the scriptures went to Corinth in weakness and in fear. And in much trembling. There was no self-confidence in the apostle. He knew what he was called to do. He knew whom he was representing. He knew the power that was against him, that spiritual power that was evident even in the heavens above. And his one fear was that at some point or another he might fail his Lord and commander and the army of the living God. And in trembling, he asks the Ephesian Christians to pray for him. Now, it's not the only place that he asked for prayers from God's people. To the church at Colossae, chapter 4, we read these words at chapter 4 and verse 2, "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus." Oops, I'm on the wrong page, sorry. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." And so in the second place, the apostle does not leave the Ephesian believers any doubt what they are to pray for him. He asks that he may proclaim boldly. When the apostle wrote these words, he was a prisoner, but he does not ask them to pray that he may be set free from prison. He was an unhealthy man, but he does not ask them to pray that he might be healed. He asked them to pray for boldness. And when we speak of boldness, we are thinking of words like confidence and courage and openness, and outspoken frankness. Being bold, the apostle means freely, that nothing would be kept back. We think when Paul gave his farewell address to the Ephesian elders, we find that in Acts 20, he said that he had not failed to declare to them the whole counsel of God. "Even if you know it will get you into trouble, do not hold back." That's Pastor Swale's calling. That's the calling of every faithful pastor. Now, being bold isn't a little button that you can press and then all of a sudden manufacture. It can only be given by God. And congregation, so pray in particular that your preacher would be given boldness. A moment ago, we made mention of the stresses and pressures of being a minister of the word. But nowhere is the difficulties of being a minister more evident than in the work of the pulpit. The minister deals with the holy word of God. And when the minister speaks, he had better know what he is speaking about. A minister is to preach according to the word of God faithfully, and he will be judged more severely than the rest of the congregation. This in itself can be a fearful thought. And then there is the congregation. God's people come in a variety of stripes. Some people may be inclined to want to hear what they call doctrinal sermons. Very important. Others want to hear what they call practical sermons, and that too has importance. Some want to hear the joy of the gospel, but not too much about the responsibility that a Christian has in living the Christian life. Some want the good news reduced to the easy news. From a human point of view, it's impossible for a preacher to keep everybody happy. But the point is, he does not stand before you in the first place to make you happy. He is to be found faithful to the word. Your pastor has been called to minister the word and to do so boldly, to preach the whole counsel of God, to preach the word that speaks to all situations, the gospel ministry of Christ to be addressed from this pulpit week by week. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, will be held forth, and it must be held forth boldly. The scriptures tell us, we believe it, do we not? The scriptures, a double-edged sword, a lamp that lights our path. It's been given to us for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, in order that God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A preacher, however, does not preach in a vacuum. By that I mean to say the preacher is not isolated from the congregation and the community in which he serves. In many ways, it's safer and easier to preach to a congregation one does not know. After all, how is he to know the particular circumstances of that particular congregation and the individual members? That's an advantage I have. But your pastor, he's been with you a season of time, and as time goes on, he has grown familiar with the congregation, the community, and the preacher will be led under the prayers of God's people, under his own prayers, to interpret by God's grace, to apply by God's grace Scripture in such a way that fits the congregation. Now, that's not to say the minister will take the church directory, go down the list, and say, oh, there, that's one that I need to say a word to. And even so, the Holy Spirit is busy, and as he is busy applying God's word in our lives, there will be times where you think, well, he's speaking directly to me, directly to me. That's what the word of God does. It speaks directly to us in our particular situation. And we have to realize that a preacher would not be a preacher if he had to keep silent on questions concerning the truths of life, the obedience of faith. If he had to keep quiet on particular aspects that the Bible brings forth, he would have very little to say after a while. But now, as we pray for boldness, we do not pray for boldness for the sake of boldness alone, but rather, in the third place, we're asked to pray that the message that he delivers contain the mystery of the gospel. There are many words that are shared from the pulpits of this land, and we might say words, words, and more words. Sometimes powerful words, but also sometimes words with little said. Pulpits in this land are not universally faithful, and we've seen the failings of where the pulpit has failed and the church has come to naught. Words that are said to tickle itchy ears are empty words. The words that God requires of his messengers, his heralds of the truth, are words that proclaim the mystery of the gospel, the good news, the wonder of the cross. Preaching Christ crucified. Christ who entered into his humiliation for our sake. As he came to live the life that we do not live, and to die the death that we cannot die. Christ exalted and ascended in the heavens above, our intercessor. Oh, what blessedness, congregation. We preach the lordship of Christ as he is the king of the church. We preach the lordship of Christ as the devil cannot snatch out of his hand any of his followers. We preach the glory of Christ, for he is Jesus, the one who saves his people from their sins. We preach the lordship of Christ as he rules the lives of those who follow him. When the apostle made his request of the Ephesian church, he was not thinking, first of all, of his personal needs. It's not a request that touches his daily comings and goings, as it were, but he is interested in one thing, the one thing that has always dominated his focus since he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, namely the preaching of the gospel, the good news. The ministry of the gospel had, as it were, been hidden for so many years, but now that Jesus Christ has come, the mystery has been fully revealed. And this good news must be proclaimed boldly, not only from this pulpit, but from pulpits around the world. All must hear with bold conviction the unsearchable riches of the Redeemer. The Apostle Paul desires that Christians pray for the preaching of the gospel, the spread of the kingdom, and congregation be encouraged to remember this often. To remember this often. Praying that your pastor would have the power of speech, the freedom of utterance as he stands before you week upon week. Now, we may forget that the Apostle Paul himself was no natural speaker. Certain people at Corinth had taunted the apostle, saying, as we read elsewhere, his presence is weak, his speech is contemptible. Apollos was known as an orator. Paul was not. And so he urged these Christians at Ephesus, and by extension the Christians here gathered here at Emmanuel, to pray so that he would have the words, that he would have the liberty, that his tongue would be unloosed, that his lips would be made mobile, that he would speak with freedom. Martin Lloyd-Jones remarked, it is most interesting to note that this mighty man of God, realizing his own deficiencies and imperfections, pleads with these Ephesians to pray for him that he may be able to speak freely, fluently, without halting and without stumbling. And so, beloved, be encouraged in a blessed task that the Lord gives to you, that your pastor and like-minded pastors, pastors who we have connections with, will be given words to preach, and you will pray for that. Not just any words, but that words would be spoken that are understandable by young and old alike, words that will be formed and shaped by the gospel message. Not words that would merely seek to please men. Rather, we need to pray that we may be delivered, especially pastors, from a spirit of compromise, that the truth may come first, the truth that sets us free, the truth that saves us eternally in the Lord Jesus. And so may the Lord God in heaven above hear many prayers from the congregation gathered at this place for those who are called to bring the gospel. And let us pray in the assurance that our God does hear and answer humble prayer and is pleased to respond to the prayers of his people. Let us thank him for that. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee that the word of God is all-encompassing, touching so many areas of life, every area of life. And we thank thee for the gift of prayer, where we may unburden our hearts, where we may open our hearts to thee, perhaps even only by a sigh, where we may lift, Lord, our souls to thee to declare our dependence upon the Lord. We thank thee, Lord, that in the word of God we learn of our calling to pray for our preachers, that words would be given to those who preach, that those words would be proclaimed boldly, and that these words would be words with a particular focus in the midst of the spiritual battle, a particular focus upon the Lord Jesus, who is our blessed Redeemer, he who came to be a ransom for many. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for our bountiful riches in the gospel. Where would we be without the good news? We would be in the dark. We would be lost. We would be without hope. We would be a people who are aimless, but in thy loving kindness, we have a gospel. And so, Lord, Bless Brother Swale as he goes forth day by day and week by week in his task. And bless, Lord, all those called to be proclaimers and helder, those who herald the truth. Father, hear our prayer. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. In Jesus' name.